Well, this is a great crowd. Thank you all for coming. What would you say, 300, 400?
Yeah, that's about right.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, there are quiet 300.
300, 400 people in the crowd. Those of you at home, you don't know the difference. Have a little bit of a tech issue, so the home listeners, we apologize. It's a little rough.
You still think there are some?
No. Yeah. After this, it's all over. So thank you all for being here. It means a lot. This is our first live podcast for We the Libertarians. Sitting around the table, the metaphorical table, is I am Chris Spangle. Greg Lenz.
Chris, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. And Joe Ruiz.
Right here. And right next to me is Chris's 20-year-old girlfriend.
She used to be an anti-Teo, folks.
Listen, she had to work at Goodwill. She's very busy tonight. Work. So
not court ordered, huh?
I just wish Mittens were here.
You really miss Mittens?
Well, I had a lot of requests. A lot of people wanted Mittens to be here tonight.
She's free range, though.
Yeah.
Well, because you wanted Mittens here, I actually got this for you.
Oh, that's funny.
I got you a present. Look at that.
A little piece of home.
I did not want you to feel like Mittens was not here.
Oh, thanks. It's a picture of Mittens, and she has a Hitler mustache, and she's watching the birth of the Nazis. That's so nice.
I took, like, 6 takes to get her to get a paw out like this, and she would not do it.
Right. We called Sam. Sorry, Sam. Sam's going to beat your ass after this. So
that West Bank just got 10 feet bigger.
I'm sorry. We're trying to be
I love you, Sam.
We're trying to be effective and inclusive, and we're failing. So, well, we've had quite the weekend. Since we last spoke to you on Thursday, we went to the Libertarian Party of Indiana convention, and as we've talked about in the past, there was a race for governor that was contested.
There was, and I'm so glad the Smartphone Caucus came out in support tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
You know, typically when you go to a show, everybody should have their phone out and staring into it, not paying attention to the people in the crowd. That's
Allison.
That's always the best practice, is to not pay attention to the people you just paid to see.
I don't even know what she just jacked off. It was to the side and it was this big.
Well, Josh Featherstone's right next to her, so maybe there's a
point. There we go.
So if you're not sure what We Are Libertarians is, most of the time we aren't either. we show up and we just start talking. And it is basically a conversation about what the hell is going on in the world, and we try to give you libertarian solutions. We're nonpartisan, although many of the people in this room are Libertarian Party people. I am a Libertarian Party person. Joe is party agnostic. And Greg, I don't even know what you are.
I joined the party, although I have a feeling I'm going to be deported after this weekend.
Yeah, you caused a bit of a stir all weekend long.
I know, and I feel like I am like the epitome of effective and inclusive.
Why would you say that?
I actually don't feel that way at all.
Right, because all weekend long I had everybody coming up to me going, "You really got to do something about Greg." I don't have to do anything about Greg. Greg's a big boy.
I'm so nice.
Are you a liability?
I'm a liability to basically anything I join. Like, isn't it the Will Rogers line? If any organization wants me, I don't want to be a part of it.
I think
that's what you told me when I asked you about Freemasons.
Yeah, exactly right.
I just wanted to see Jesus' body.
What?
I'll never tell you where we buried it.
Sorry, I was not paying attention. So it's just like we're at home. So
we don't live together. Mike Pence would be pissed.
So the outcome... I mean, you wouldn't want to live with me?
I don't know. You keep your litter box in your bedroom.
Well, sometimes you get hungry at night. No, there's just no other place for it. So I have to keep it in the bedroom because there's no other place. What am I going to put it right next to the table where we do the podcasts?
Well, I mean, it's a good litmus test for what kind of girl will tolerate you.
Well, I've got a deaf girl. She can't smell.
She's perfect.
She's absolutely perfect. She's
the shit.
And most of all, she loves my green shorts.
Oh.
Did you see the thing on Instagram today?
No one wears lime green like you do.
Oh. I'm a master. See my lime green shoes?
Do you have high socks on, mid-calf, lime green?
They're more than... Yeah.
Are they full?
They're full socks.
Basically stirrups.
Full of what? So,
I got yelled at all weekend because of you. Would you like to explain yourself?
I'm sure some of you, the smartphone caucus over on my right, will know that my reputation precedes me for trolling. I think some people thought it might just be digital.
Right.
I took this whole thing offline this weekend. I just went full bore in real life trolling.
You did?
Yeah, I was chastised by Abdul publicly.
Publicly, yes.
And when a black drunken Muslim chastises you, you've hit moral rock bottom.
Right. I got into a screaming match with someone I've known for 9 years that I thought liked and respected me because you were abusive and a bully.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't know why I got yelled at, though.
It's your fault.
Why?
You invited me here.
I don't want to say it.
You don't want to say it?
No.
I don't think he's into that kind of thing, is all I'm saying.
What?
Abusive and screaming and all that.
Oh, you're talking
Get
about...
Get off the stage.
No,
Get off the stage. You're not welcome here. You
go
have
back.
To go back. Joe, by the way, the James niece, are you here?
No.
Yeah. No. Why would you be? You're supposed to be there.
He'll show up at 9 and be like, what's up, bro?
Hey, bro.
You want to go troll Ted Cruz, man?
Hey, you want to cook? James niece is a wood nymph, as Jeff Bieber has titled him. He looks like a wood nymph.
Thank you, Jeff, because that has been clutch.
He's never showed up more than 2 hours late for a podcast. He's always at least a good 3 or 4 hours late. He showed up about 3 days late to the convention this weekend, walked into the convention hall, grabbed a microphone, said some rap lyrics, and started yelling, I'm going to cuck the chair. And then proceeded to, like, spout the most beautiful philosophy ever, but nobody could understand him because he... I don't know what his problem is, but he's James Nace. And
he's a Nacertarian, bro.
Everybody was very, very confused. We were dying laughing because we're animals, but James Nace...
I will actually say James was like my second favorite part, because my favorite part, for those of you who are not political or who don't attend conventions, there is nothing better than sitting in a convention while Eastern Standard versus Central Time is being debated hostily as a bylaw amendment, and you're sitting next to Sam Goldstein, who is the best Libertarian Party member I know of.
Easily the greatest chair the Libertarian Party of Indiana has ever had.
They would still be going on if it were not for Sam Goldstein. So a round of applause for Sam.
Sam is somebody that I've aspired to be, an asshole. No, that's come on up here, Sam.
Yeah, why don't we have Sam? There should be a Libertarian LPIN Civility Award named after Sam Goldstein. Motion.
The Sam Goldstein Asshole Award a year ago goes to Greg Litz.
No Sam will ever in the Hooded Keyboarders little chat room that we have today. Since you announced that you have been my grasshopper for years,
and I have taken over the party promotion asshole,
party official asshole position, I now present you with what my former vice chair Jerry Titus presented with me many years ago. Are you prepared for this?
I am.
It is the asshole merit badge.
Yes.
Wear that with pride.
I will. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is true. I am an asshole, but I'm your asshole.
And a very valuable one, too.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Because we need somebody to relieve the pressure from time to time.
Is that what happens in an asshole?
You might check your cat's litter box. Oh, I have one other presentation,
yes.
too. Since, in addition to your announcement in our Keyholders Society chat room, you did announce publicly that apparently you are a Wayne Root fanboy from way back.
I did this not.
Week. And so
you lie more than the most.
I dug this up out in the archives in my house.
It is my Wayne Allen Root for President hat.
Make the LP great again.
Yes.
It is yours. And I have suggested that since none of the current presidential candidates on the Libertarian Party ticket vying for a nomination at Orlando are worth the salt that Wayne spread at the reception he gave in Las Vegas,
right.
I am going to move to void all the other nominations to bring Wayne Rat back. I think that many of the people in this room and across the country listening to this podcast, whatever the hell it is, will be very pleased by that. And I think you will be his floor whip and campaign manager.
Sounds like somebody didn't want to be vice chair of the party.
I think I will have a lot of support.
Being pro Wayne Root is not a winning strategy in the LP.
You're the one that's a fanboy. I mean, I couldn't even believe what you wrote the other day.
Is he the Hitler of the LP?
Yeah. He's like the Trump of the LP.
He's the Trump of the LP. We're going to actually, we'll get into it. Thank you, Sam. Give Sam a round of applause. Thank you.
Seriously, I'm kidding aside. Sam, don't you?
Because, listen, I have politician hair. I can't mess it up. You saw the brush in the back.
It was a pick.
So, before we jump into the topic, let's jump into the topic. What we want to talk about tonight is libertarians are winners. And
at our own pace, like Little Brent.
Why? Who was that that laughed that hard?
It was everybody.
Jessica. Are libertarians not winners? Look at us. Look at the people on this stage. When you look at Greg Lenz, and when you look at Chris Spangle and Joe Ruiz, you think, those are winners. Right? Why are you guys laughing? Stop.
I've got the participation trophy approved.
Oh God, blaring hearts here. It's all over now.
Oh my God. A political icon, really.
Are you staying the whole time?
We'll see.
All right, because we have to have you on stage so people actually know you're real when I talk about you. So,
did you bring your bacon?
Blair, come up here. We have to listen. This is an ADD show. Come up on stage, Blair. Blair Englehart, everybody.
Blair.
So, I left the Libertarian Party of Indiana and I took a job with Blair Englehart. I became the marketing director of the, over by me, of the Advocates for Self-Government. And Blair was my boss. And the greatest thing that ever happened, Blair is just a character. He's one of the inspirations for the Love Brothers on the Bob and Tom show. Because he's a ladies' man. He is, here's the microphone. He's a political operative. He is a marketing genius. The funniest thing, though, that ever happened when I was your employee was you were crashing at your mom's pad at that point.
Ah, yeah.
And your mom...
He's a libertarian?
What? Would you say you're a libertarian?
I have extreme libertarian leanings, you know that.
Yes, he's very libertarian leaning.
Brett Bender would disagree with me.
Right. Chloe and Agnes... Chloe and Agnes wouldn't because she needs the money. And your mom is a great lady, and she packed a bacon one morning. And
that's right. Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting in my office, and it's quiet, and I'm typing away, thinking about libertarian things. Fuck! Fuck! Fuck, Ray! Where's my fucking bacon? It's in my backpack. I can't find it. Oh, I found it. Okay, it's next to the laptop. Why were you keeping your bacon next to your laptop, bro?
Because, I mean, my laptop's my world. I mean, you know.
But, I heard you had a little fight with it recently.
Oh, don't even get me started. I want somebody to explain to me why the only modem in the world that I cannot connect to is the one in my office. Okay, I mean, Brad had to teach me how to use my phone as a hotspot to be able to get work done. No, Chloe. What's the first thing I say to a female employee when they come to work at Englehart Group? I warn them, saying, are you okay with F-bombs being dropped all day long?
All day long.
Is that true?
What did I say back?
You said, yeah, okay, not a problem.
I said, I have cable.
Jeff Cable, okay. Yeah. So that's kind of like...
You're an outsider of the Libertarian Party, of the Libertarian Movement. You are definitely an ally of the Libertarian Movement. You work for all three parties when you do politics because you're a member of the Green Party.
That's right.
If it's got green, you'll work for them.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, yeah.
Nothing, go ahead. Sorry. Say good joke.
I even did a famous TV.
Did I just get heckled? By the person whose office is next to me? Who makes important phone calls all day?
Very important.
Trap music all week long. All week long.
Is Grace here?
Yeah.
Hi, Grace.
Hi,
Grace. Chris did say that you're the best janitor Bob and Tom's ever had.
So, one thing you need to know about Grace is Grace is very white, but. if you go see a show with Grace, as I often do for our job at Bob and Tom, she has the soul of a black woman.
That's right.
And she,
yeah. She got my Slipknot tickets for me. I know that, right, Grace?
Wait, what?
You got my mouse hooked up, right? Okay, I'm just saying.
Got your Slipknot tickets.
I know people, so.
Slipknot? Well, yeah. A 14-year-old boy that cuts yourself?
Larry Ingerhard, okay. Tumblr.com.
Marilyn Manson is opening, so bite me, okay?
So what would you, if you were to give some advice to libertarians about how to grow the movement, what would your advice be?
Do not take this wrong, but, and I've had this conversation with ad infinitum, Brett, Mark, I think we've got to win somewhere and build on that. I don't mean that bad. I mean, you've got to pick. It's just like Republicans and Democrats. Before they put a candidate out there, they vet everything. They know what their chances of winning is going to be. They do polling. So why can't libertarians research their candidates, get behind the people that have the best chance of winning, not just fill in the slot? But that's just my... I mean, there's people that I know in the Libertarian Party that can win. I mean, there's strong people in this party. But... you know, a lot of people have to rally around that because you're fighting. When you're fighting the Democrats and Republicans, you're fighting a big system.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Blair. Thank you.
Applause for Blair Ingerhard.
He dropped the mic, everybody. Thanks so much. Are you all right? Blair is a great guy and a great friend to libertarians. So what we want to talk about is winning as libertarians, not just as Libertarian Party people. But a change in mindset. Because the problem that I experienced over my 10 years in the libertarian movement is that libertarians have no confidence. It's a lot of betas in this party, Greg.
It's not so much that there are a lot of betas, it's that there are a lot of betas that are attracted to leadership positions. And not people under the age of 40, a lot of the old guard that I think would be just as happy if there was, it's what we got accused of. They would be happy if they ran purity candidates and not necessarily people that were impure and did things like actually, you know, negative campaigning, antagonized, and engaged in what is necessary to get noticed when the media is against you.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what is your experience? When you were running for office, I mean, you were a very confident person. I would say you are.
Yeah, I was vetted, by the way.
Yeah.
I do remember being vetted. I can't say there's not holes in the vetting system because I was allowed in. But.
Yeah.
But did you go climb the wall from the Libertarian Party?
So what do I mean by this? Well, there's several different. You know, we all are out spreading the message of libertarianism, which is that you can make the best choice for yourself. That you are your own self-government, and that you know the direction of your life better than anyone else. Maximum freedom, minimum government. And that is the principle in which we all start. We start with the idea that our voting should match our morals. I wouldn't walk up to Greg and steal his hat, for instance, because that's not my belief.
Unless you don't like the hat.
And I don't like the hat. I'm not a hat person. Look at this hair.
It has the windmill of tolerance and freedom.
And on top of, and so if we all form a committee, there's several hundred people here right now. And if we all vote that Chris should get Greg's hat, the morality doesn't change. That hat is still Greg's property and not my property.
I just don't have access to it.
Right. Likewise, it's not okay for me to look at Joe and say, You like that hat? Get that hat for me. I can't use an agent of change. So the reason that I'm a libertarian is that I believe, first and foremost, that my moral of not stealing, not hurting people, not hitting people, as much as I like to, Tim, sometimes I'd like to hit people. We'll get into the convention later.
I'm the toxic and divisive one, huh?
I'm wearing the asshole badge.
That's true.
But we deeply believe what we believe as libertarians, and we spread that message. And we can only spread that message if we have the confidence to do so. and to Echo Wainwright, we have to be winners. And we have to be obsessed with winning. And the problem is that libertarians have become accustomed to losing. We are told by the two-party system that we are losers. We are told that if you run for office, you will lose. If you vote for a libertarian candidate, you will lose. If you join the Republican Liberty Caucus and try to change the Republican Party from within, you will lose. You will lose, lose, lose. So submit and join the two-party system and vote for what the mainstream media and what the two-party leadership tells you to vote for. We don't believe that. You are here and you listen to this podcast because you believe that that is a false choice, that there is another way. And too often I've seen people who have that belief and sit in silence and sit quietly. And they aren't obsessed with winning. When you believe in something, like we believe in the libertarian movement, you have to go out and you have to accept nothing but success. You're going to have failures. You will not always win. But you should never, ever stop getting up when you get knocked down. Sometimes success and winning in the libertarian movement is defined as a very small goal. Maybe it's not winning president this time around. Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's 2%. But you have to do everything you can to spread our belief of libertarianism with absolute tenacity. And sometimes that means breaking a few eggs, Greg.
That can sometimes mean, you know, wrestling some jimmies.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain to the people what jimmies are, Greg?
Jimmies are your feelings.
Right.
And oftentimes when you have not had success, what can happen is that growing pains can break those jimmies. It is a glass parking lot of jimmies, if you will, and they can just end up shattered.
Well, what happens when you continually live in a victim mindset, in a losing mindset, you are more sensitive and you start to protect. You start to close up.
It's like when change hurts. Change is uncomfortable. You're unsure because the thing is, it's not like it's certain. It's not like if we go out and be assholes, it's necessarily going to get us noticed in the press or it's going to be a positive thing. So it's untested. What we know is that spreading the message, which everybody, everyone here, thank you so much for coming out, but you guys are all lions and deserve to be applauded because you guys are all killers. And
give yourselves a round of applause.
So this is not a true whatsoever, but there's no one more powerful than the LPIM, and I really mean that.
Is this my first drink, Aaron?
Is that a banana? Is that a virgin? Not Spangled, but drink.
I'll have you know, I have had sex several times.
Wait.
What's that, Emily?
Yes. Bad as hell.
So continue, Greg.
No, and so, I mean, that's what I'm so impressed with, because I'm new to the party, and I struggled for the longest time, because I was that total critic that it's a wasted vote. And I am now the polar opposite. Seeing how hard that everyone works in the LPIN and seeing how committed everyone is to growing, to getting uncomfortable, to trying new things, to running as many candidates as possible, regardless of how pure they are, getting people involved and onboarded, it's amazing. Like it's Nick Sarawark.
Yes.
Sarawark, the LP, Aaron Ewart, he's the janitor for the LP nationally.
Yeah, we had a, well, you know, dear leader and everything. I had a private lunch with the national chairman of the Libertarian Party.
An establishment lunch?
An establishment lunch. And I said, hey, can I bring Aaron? And Aaron, after 45 minutes, goes, excuse me, what's your role with the party? And he told him, and then Aaron goes, I'm really sorry for calling Austin Peterson a... Never mind.
Rhymes with bragging.
He was scolded and then he had to go back.
So brave. So brave.
A mountain of tolerance, that young Aaron. With his Hitler Youth haircut. He's from Martinsville. He can't help it. He can't help it. Okay?
He was the single David Duke vote at the
He got nominated for every single one. So yes, there are people who are committed to the cause. We had 140 people there, which was a very good convention for the Libertarian Party. And it was a rough race. There was a lot of knockdown, drag-out fights on social media, especially over the course of this season. We've talked about it here.
Is that commentary or an accusation?
I don't want to say anything about you, Greg, to your face. I'm just going to private message you, Tim, and tell you exactly. Is Chris Mayo here? I'll share with him.
No, because he would have made me stay in a room while everyone talked about whether they liked me or not. As well. And then not even told me that the vote was done. Inclusive. I lost 5 votes not even being in the room on the second round of balloting, and I wasn't even in there to offend anybody.
He did. He was selected as a delegate to this convention, but nobody told him because he was sent to the silence chamber so we could debate on whether or not he was allowed to be a delegate, and nobody called him back in.
I was trying to show my commitment, and I was there till Monday, and the damn thing ended on Saturday at 3.
He kept texting me, but I was like, I'm just going to let this go as long as it will.
Nobody likes Mayo. I think he's a dick. Not really. He's the best. Even though he wears Crocs and wife beaters on Sunday.
We are a political party and a political movement that is sorely lacking in political methods. I actually want to talk to Evan McMahon. I'm glad Evan's here. Evan, you should come up, and we'll talk to you a little bit if you're willing.
I've got some feedback for
Evan.
Because I watched this in action.
Evan, would you like some attention?
He did it. And he's fake.
This is not Evan's.
Evan was on an episode titled Chick-fil Angry, where we talked about the Chick-fil gay kerfuffle.
Yeah, that was awesome. You brought me a laminated copy of the Chick-fil-A menu.
See, I used to troll in private. Now I do it on the internet.
You just showed up on my desk one day.
You can't be that mad, because I watched you talk to the someone on the SEC and say what a horrible person she was because she sold pharmaceuticals for a living, and chastise her to the point I said something. Which is fucking huge.
You're in the running for next year, buddy.
And the thing is, I didn't even mean any of the shit that I said to her either.
Oh, I remember. It was, you're a terrible person. I hope you die. And I hope you die by the drugs you sell.
I remember what I said. I didn't mean it yet. I didn't, yeah.
So you don't believe
I'm saying JK.
Oh, damn.
Or emoji.
Yeah.
So when I was an executive director working with you, we were in the same office. I discovered over the course of those 4 years that the biggest problem is A, that your feet smell.
Awful.
And B, that libertarians don't think that they can represent the message because they don't know enough. Libertarians don't believe that they can represent the party because they don't know issues well enough. They don't believe that they can make that big of a difference because they don't know how to run a campaign. They don't believe, they don't have confidence in. Is that consistent with what you've seen in your work over the last few years? That we have a confidence issue in the libertarian movement?
So there are very confident people mm-hmm. who understand academics. They can go on and on about some heady, Austrian economic theory or, quoting Road to Serfdom or something like that. But when you get them in front of a real-life human being who has a ninth grade reading level and try to relate to them on a personal level, they don't think they can. Mm-hmm. And so they choose not to try. The other thing that kind of holds libertarians back is, and I'm guilty of doing this myself, when you say you're going to run for office, everybody asks you, what's your real goal? 1%, 2%? It's never winning. And I mean, you actually said it today about setting micro goals.
Absolutely.
And we've got to stop doing that. Mm-hmm. We need to attack races and attack, campaigns with the intent of winning. In Marion County, 68% of the vote is straight ticket voting. Mm-hmm. That's a statistic that's not going to go away for a while. But you know what? It's not that way in Lawrence. It's not that way in Beech Grove. It's not that way over in Speedway. It's about, 54%? Is that McGuire? It's less than
that. 50% is a pretty straight ticket number, regardless.
Around the state, it's about 52%. straight ticket voting, but you get in some areas, some counties, like the Republican Party, it's less than 15% straight ticket voting. So it can be won, but we automatically tell candidates, you're not going to win. So don't put everything into it because you have no chance of winning. And this is I'm guilty of doing it. I did it to Shane, who's running for state senate in District 30.
Round of applause to Shane.
32. And my very first conversation with him was,
Shane is far too handsome to be a libertarian, quite frankly. It's disturbing. I think he's a plant from the Democrats.
He's a pair of shined Oxfords away from working for Amash.
He really is. He's a beautiful man. I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality to admit it.
He has been giving me back massages.
For those playing at home.
Hashtag no homo.
No, homo.
For those listening at home that don't know, Evan is a confirmed bachelor.
As Abdul likes to say, a known homosexual.
Uncle Evan. Uncle Evan's such a nice boy. Why did he never marry?
Uncle Evan.
But we have confidence in some things, but we lack confidence in things that actually really matter on the campaign trail, which is we need to be, we need to understand that what we're saying does impact people's lives. It does have a direct effect. It's not some academic theory. Taxation does affect you. You might not feel it now because it's automatically taken out of your paycheck, but if that was to stop, you would actually hurt every day. You would feel it a little bit more. We are fighting lives.
Yeah, when you go and you listen to episode 144 of this podcast, and you hear Amanda's story, please try not to be an anarchist by the end of that. When you hear what someone has gone through in trying to save their life, their child's life, and stop sexual violence and domestic violence, and to have hundreds of people in our criminal justice system never do a thing about it, where you go back and listen to episode 91 with Woody, 100 people see his daughter dying, nobody does anything with it. And The problem is that so many people, we work for the government, that they become self-interested, that they put their own human interest above others.
The incentives are misaligned.
Right.
Completely. The incentive is to stay and continue having your job by ignoring neglect. You know, you have no incentive to whistleblow. You have no incentive to talk about how this life was ruined, because that may first end up being the director that gives you the promotion so that you can buy the new house.
Well, just look at DCS, the Division of Children and Families and Services, or whatever their acronym is. And a couple of years ago, it was in 2012, we couldn't get a copy of their budget.
Yeah.
They wouldn't publish it. But there were three cases.
National Security?
Yeah. We talked to senators. State senators who called the ombudsman and said, we want a copy of your current operating budget, and they said no. To somebody that was actually
It's not covered under Freedom of Information request?
No.
See, a Freedom of Information request, you can request the information and within 48, 72 hours, they have to tell you they received your request, but they don't ever have to give you the information.
They don't have to process it yet.
Oh, they don't have to.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You have...
And it's redacted usually, right?
Right.
Sometimes. But this was because they felt that there would be information about families that had been serviced or something like that. And we're like, listen, we just want to know how many pens you have, okay? We want to know what you're spending money on. We don't want to know what kids you've taken care of. But the reason why we wanted it was because in 1 month, four or five kids had died, and all four of these kids had been, somebody had called DCS to say, hey, there's a problem here, and they had ignored it. And their talking point was, we don't have enough field agents. We don't have enough people going out and doing research or doing this investigation. But the problem was, they actually gave like $14 million back to the state that the department hadn't spent.
An unused budget.
And they did it 3 years in a row. And we were like, okay, what are you spending the money on that you have some left over and you don't have enough,
Yeah, fiscal conservatism isn't worth child's.
Right. There's a lot of things that I can say about that agency, about how it can rip families apart, but there's sometimes when you look at it and you have to take that human approach and say, this was actually something that we said you're supposed to do, and you didn't just fall asleep at the wheel, you ran that car into a child and walked away and pretended like it wasn't your fault.
Hundreds, thousands of children.
And so, but what we discovered was that at every step, people knew that they were going to get in trouble over this. And so they kept burying it and making it harder and harder to find out what was going on until that fifth kid died. And then they were like, well, okay. We screwed up, sorry. But that's government. Government's always going to cover its own ass and not be accountable to the citizens. I mean, when you're an actual high-ranking senator who actually sits on an appropriations committee, and you tell him, no, you can't have our budget, you've jumped the shark a little bit. So, but that's
I need something to run on as a fiscal consultant.
But we have to feel confident to be able to go out and talk to people about what's actually happening to them. Mm-hmm. And you know, Rex Bell, I said something at the state convention about his book, and it's legitimate. Stinky Shorts converted my mother to libertarianism. It wasn't me, it wasn't my Facebook posts, it wasn't any of the conversations we ever had. It wasn't any memes.
Idiot, bro.
But she's a hardcore libertarian now. She gets it, and it was because she stole my copy of Stinky Shorts and was reading it.
And it's because government is put in a way in which people, Grace actually told me, she said, I've listened to your podcast, it's the first time I've ever understood politics because people talk like me.
Right.
You know, and you have to put things in the vernacular that in which people understand it.
I mean, when you look at laws...
I mean, maybe they wouldn't say in which you understand it. That's right. Normal people don't talk like that.
Y'all get that?
Yeah. Government bad.
But, you know, I do a lot of work researching legislation, doing things like that, and reading lawsuits, reply briefs, and I'm not an attorney. I still have a portion of my soul left.
No, you don't.
I'm lying. It's
bullshit.
Gone. If you had to choose between being a pharmaceutical or an attorney, what would you choose?
Well, he's not pretty enough to be a pharmaceutical rep. So you're a little old.
You just got told off by a heterosexual.
Ladies and gentlemen, Evan McMahon. I think that's what it really comes down to. We have to talk about the things that people care about. We have to put it in human terms. We have to make people empathize with the stories of other people. The stories of how the government affects us. And not in numbers, not in terms of, well, you'll save X amount of dollars, but in human terms.
Yeah, not an abstract thought. You know, Andy Horning has got kind of a pseudo-famous expression about, the abstraction of language and what we talk about is where the evils come in, because we think of it like it's some off foreign land. We don't think about it like it's our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And he's so right. Now, there's probably a better way of putting that and making it more of a bumper sticker thing. But it's so true, is that you really only hate government or see how it's inefficient when it's next door.
Right.
You don't see it when it's, oh gosh, I wish my neighbor would get a job so he'd, quit watching Maury. You know, that creates division. And you know what's funny though, it's like Joe's the only one that's run on the stage. So like, Joe, what were things that you encountered from constituents when you were at the campaign?
Well, it's funny what Evan said about the micro goals. So the first thing I was told when I was asked if I would be interested in running was, they're not going to win, so just keep that in mind. But it's you're going to go out there, you're going to share the message, you're going to do as well as you can. And damn it, I thought I was going to win regardless. I even cared that somebody told me that, and I did as well as I could. And I think there were probably some people talking in the shadows, like, Joe, he's getting a little serious about this. He really needs to win. But we can all be Uncle Rico, man. Let's throw the damn football over that mountain.
And then, what was it? Did you say that, I think Evan said something about where it's like the negative effects are not want to be noticed. Is that right, Evan, before Chris called you a non-attractive gay male?
Too soon.
I wounded him. Your shoes are ugly. I'm just kidding. You have nice shoes. They smell terrible, but...
Are you endorsing Pence right now?
No, that's the other one.
Oh, that's right. The other one started Tea Party, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you had debates, public debates with Susan Brooks? Like,
I don't know, was Brandon Mullen, Jackie Lorsky.
Jackie Lorsky.
Oh, she didn't show up to most of them.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, I think one of them. Out of the four or five.
Because I watched the YouTube video debate that you showed.
That was the one. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you did fantastic. I think that's what happens. The libertarians are just a rock star, so they stand out in the debate because there's something new and refreshing. The hard part, it's politics. Like, Trump's changed. Trump's running how Trump can run.
But, and I was at a senior citizen's home when I was being a rock star.
Yeah, which is
even fun.
Well,
amazing.
You have those chubby cheeks. You look adorable. You remind me of my granddaughter.
You have a granddaughter?
I do.
And your girlfriend's 20?
Weird, isn't it?
All right.
I'm a libertarian, you assholes. Don't judge me. That's my right.
I'm not even going to touch that one. No, but, I mean, did you experience any backlash? Because then you joined a board in your community for, I'm going to say something terribly. Yes.
Yep.
And so, did you encounter any backlash as people recognized you as a candidate?
No, I don't think so. Not backlash, per se. People wanted to know why I was choosing the party that I chose to run for, so it did create an avenue to kind of justify and explain to them why I ran for who I ran for, and it started that conversation, and that was a good thing. So in that way, it did help me, I guess, have a platform and set up a place to spread the message. But I don't feel like I took any negative heat for it. If I did, it was from the Republicans who supported Jackie Walorski, who told me that me being part of the race was going to cost her the vote the way it did in 2008 or 2010 with Mark Vogel.
And now they're running Trump.
So I think in closing, but we want to get to some questions and answers, so please think up some questions and answers. Brett, please plant some.
We got a game.
We've got a game, and we're going to give away some prizes. I think you're going to really like the prizes. I think in closing, you have to...
Generous and thorough back massage.
Calm down, Christy. I was watching YouTube today, because I was at work.
The YouTubes.
Right. And I saw a clip of 300. And... In 300, King Leonidas goes and he speaks to the head of head of the Persian army, and it's a discussion, and it's in the message, it's in the event page, but he goes up to him, and it's 300 Spartans up against bodies on bodies on bodies and bodies, and Xerxes makes him an offer. He says, "Join us. We respect your tribe, and you can carry my banner, and you can join us, and we'll all be free." And what Xerxes was offering him was to live, but to live under Persian rule, which was certain slavery. And he said, "You are no match for us. You have 300. Your culture is outmatched. Have you not seen how many people I can send your way?
I can black out the skies with arrows."
And King Leonidas says, "You can throw bodies at us all day long because you have slaves. You have people who have no passion. We have warriors. You would even be afraid of our women because we have that kind of culture. We will not kneel to you. We will not join your slavery. We will be free people and we will die as free people and keep our honor as opposed to living as slaves." And then he died.
I'm glad you went there.
But
probably not the best analogy, really.
I think the point
You're
is.
All dead. Congratulations, fight hard.
I think the point is that
he gave himself goosebumps.
He did.
I did. I'm look at me. I'm so into myself.
You guys need goosebumps?
This is better than the funeral you dreamt of me earlier, though. I'd rather die fighting Persians than let you imagine in the past.
Listen, you go to IU. I almost said Travis White.
Like Budweiser.
Tyler Weiss is going to do terrible things to you at IQ. But in closing, we have to have a warrior culture. We as libertarians have to start thinking like warriors, that we will not accept defeat, that we will never stop grinding because it is our very death, it is our enslavement at risk. And if we are to ever stop going out and living as free people and working hard every single day to try and make the world more free through telling stories of the way that the government has hurt people, the way that we do it, the way that we're good at it, is by talking, by growing a community of people and coming up with events like this where you can come out with your friends, where you can bring people that may not know what libertarians are. You can meet other libertarians and get to know other libertarians, so then you can start convincing someone to run for office.
The fight's so much easier when it's social, you know, when you know you're not right. And just shouting in the wilderness.
That's what we choose to do. We choose to use memes to try and grow our community, and we target people under 40 because we want to talk. We're under 40. We want to talk in the way that our generation talks.
Impact Farm.
But every single one of you, you know, Michael Schultheis is here. Michael, you know, Michael is not going to have a podcast. He probably could because he's one of the funniest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Next LPIN convention, there should just be like Michael Schultheis commentary.
Yes.
12 shots deep, making sure the funds are in line, and he's just pounding away on everybody.
But Michael knows his gift is as a treasurer, so he volunteers in that way. Know your strengths, know who you are, and have the confidence and the self-esteem to go out and live as a warrior and never give up. And I apologize if I told you that you can't win, Joe. And you have to live that way every day. So
not everybody loses, Fangle.
It wasn't you, by the way.
Shut up, Brett.
Well, you know what's hilarious? I didn't know until
today. Hey, did you all know that Brett Bittner's here? Brett Bittner would like us to talk about Brett Bittner. Brett Bittner. Well, you're worse than me.
Brett Bittner at BrettBittner.com.
We go to BrettBittner.com and you can see photos of Brett Bittner.
Hashtag Brettys with Bittner, the puppet master.
Who got me this drink? Aaron Ewert, thank you.
So brave.
I haven't seen you take a drink yet.
I haven't yet. I've been.
Melissa said that.
Alyssa?
Melissa?
Yeah.
Tastes like butter.
It tastes like the tears of Melissa Hubbard.
Do you taste any Mayor Ballard in there? Or a
listen. If you're going to come up against me, you better win.
You better.
Because otherwise I'm going to drink your tears. So that leads me to the next part that we're going to do. Who here brought the most people?
Me.
Yeah. All right. No, Evan doesn't count. I'm talking to like, who? Did you? Anybody bring friends?
Yeah.
Does anybody have friends?
All right. Does anybody have friends? All right. I think it's you guys. Where you brought two people.
Paul.
You got two?
Two?
All right.
I brought my wife.
Yeah. Brought your wife. All right. We're going with Paul because he brought non-libertarians. I know all you guys. So where's Paul at?
Paul Copeland.
He went to the bathroom. This is his chance to be on the podcast. Can somebody go on the podcast and tell him to wipe quicker? All right, you're going to have to come up. He's going
to
miss it.
You have to
come on.
You have to accept it in his honor.
Yep. All right, so pick up the mic here. Tell everybody your name.
I'm Crystal.
Crystal. All right, so the prize for bringing the most people to the event today is an autographed copy of Spanking City Hall. By Joe Ruiz, Chris Spangle, Brett Bittner, and Greg Lenz. So there you are. Thank you very much for bringing people to the podcast.
Yes, thank you. And Paul Copeland is running in Center Township for Township Advisory Board here in Marion County. Is this still Marion County?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you haven't met Paul, he's awesome. He's always at Liberty and Chill, and a new person to the party, and just a wonderful guy. So make sure you introduce yourself if you haven't met him yet.
And I got six more of those. And a lot of ink in my Sharpie.
I have five in my office.
I'll take them.
No, you don't.
She hasn't sold them yet. I was counting yours as a six.
It's also
all right, so the next is the person who came the farthest. It's Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne.
Come on up. Come on up, Christy. Everybody give Christy a round of applause.
And just to be clear, you came for this, not the LPIN convention, right?
The LPIN convention was just a happy coincidence.
Right.
Okay, this is the best day of my life, so someone get a picture, please. I'm so excited to be on the podcast!
All right, you get your choice. Thanks to the Avic, don't touch me. Thank you. You get the choice.
That's not what Greg usually says, but
I know. Well, Greg is...
Thanks, Chrissy. My mom listens.
You get... Our friends at the Advocates... Our friends at the Advocates for Self-Government donated two books, Healing Our World and How to Be a Super Communicator for Liberty, and it is your choice. Which would you like?
I will take Super Communicator because I suck at communicating.
All right, that is the spirit. All right, have confidence in your ability to speak. And I'd also like you to go in front... And give the people a little, give them a twirl.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can see your shirt. You've got me as the brony. You got Greg on the back in a nuclear blast. You've got the Last Supper. You've got all the memes on your shirt, and it says Wall Fangirl on your chest. So.
And if anyone would like to buy this shirt, you know, to support these guys up here, I'm willing to do that. I have another shirt, so I'm not going to take my shirt off in front of you. Nobody wants to see that.
Give an extra 50. Can I hear 100? So, if you'd like to make a contribution, at the foot of the stage, you might be wondering what that white box is. That's not Christy. I know. The white box is not in reference to her.
Maybe the shirt. I feel like it's mine.
At the foot of the stage, thank you, Christy. Everybody give her a round of applause. If you enjoyed these stickers at the Libertarian Party of Indiana convention, if you like the table, if you like the printed materials that we had...
You were in the minority.
It is Christy's donation that covered the cost for that, so give her a round of applause for that. So if you can do the same, at the foot of the stage there is a white box, and this is where you may place offerings to dear leader.
Do you have to cut your firstborn?
That's disgusting.
Aren't you a Christian?
Shut up. You sound like Melissa now. We want to do the trivia. Is Avery around? Avery? Or Harry? I don't know if Harry's doing the thing.
There is Aaron.
Everybody get out your phones. All right? We're going to play a trivia game, and the winner's going to get this book from provided by the Advocates, Healing Our World.
And Paul Copeland, stand up real quick, because you are the winner of Spanking Sitting Hall.
Yes. Thank you. I hope that you're okay. I hope it wasn't the food. All right. That's not very confident. All right. So we're going to play a little game. So pull out your phones, and we want you to go to Kahoot. Kahoot.it. And Joe is actually going to lead us in this game. So Joe, if you'll come out front here and actually lead the audience. So get out your phones.
Do we can play?
Yeah, we can play. I actually only got nine out of four. Yeah, I failed on four of the questions. So if you sign in at kahoot.it and then you put in the game pin, you can join us.
What was that, Jeff?
It was a $0.50.
It looked like a Bitcoin.
A Bitcoin? Jeff? Hey, Joe, you want my chair?
What? No, I don't want your chair.
Aw.
Thanks, though. And it's on your shirt now.
Well, this is embarrassing. Can I get a napkin for whatever this is? I got it. All right.
That doesn't taste like tears, does it?
All right, we're going to give you 30 more seconds. Anybody?
We'll have a lot of layers in this
game. These questions are We Are Libertarians trivia. We want to reward the person who has listened the hardest. If you do not listen to We Are Libertarians, you must listen harder. You must go to wearelibertarians.com and you can find the feed there. You can search for it in any player device. All right, so are we ready?
No.
Oh my God. You guys are entering at your own pace.
Yes.
Even Bittner got this. prepared. Come on.
And he was homeschooled for like a day and a half.
I know. Well, he was socially awkward, so he had to play with his phone a lot.
We're all helping Chloe. It's just taking forever.
Chloe.
The lovely Chloe and Agnes, Brendan's assistants.
Can we give it a round of applause for Chloe and Agnes, please? All right, nobody. That's all right.
What's your deal?
Yeah. If anyone would like to interact with Chloe, look her right in the face and ask what her deal is, because that's what she's most comfortable with.
She's also Miss Banks of the Terre Haute?
Yep, she's Miss Sludgewater of Mississippi Banks.
Who wrote Not Maya?
Was that Jeremiah Axton?
All right, everybody ready? All right, we got Toxic Paul.
Cucky Miss Cup.
We got your mom.
Nice, Tyler.
I think we know who the puppet master is. All right, Spango Unchained is very funny.
That was very funny.
Who's Cucky Miss Cup?
Me.
Nice.
Yeah. Brett's helper. All right.
That's not how you spell assistant.
You know what? Your mom is fat is not nice.
She is a bully.
Yeah, of course.
Is everybody in the house?
All right, we're going. We're ready. All right, everybody ready?
Gary, go ahead and start the game.
All right, here we go.
40 players. All right.
Question one. We're at 13. What nickname has been given to Chris Spangle by the fans of We're Libertarians? Is it the president of all Libertarians, dear leader, generous and thorough, or all of the above?
Ooh, this is hard.
I made some tricky ones.
Oh, by the fans.
Right.
Oh, by the fans.
Oh. All right, by the fans. All right, so going once, going twice. All right, click on over to the next slide.
We gotta wait 30 seconds.
Oh, we gotta wait all 30 seconds?
It'll go until they answer.
Oh, my God.
This is totally a big
game.
Are you gonna force us to entertain people?
What are you here for? 37 people said you're here. Dude, who said all of you up?
All right, two people. No, don't give it away. Well, don't give it away. All right. Let's go to next.
Come on, Harry.
Face is in the lead.
Face is in the lead.
It's a timed quiz, too. All right.
On the podcast, Greg Lenz has often been called what?
Starts with an F. Some people call it a bundle of sticks.
A drunkard, the scumbag Republican, or an alpha male?
All right, is this pick two?
Nope. One answer.
One answer. Most common.
I am like covered in pina colada. Yeah. Thank you. Is that what you call it?
Republican or a scumbag Republican? B's pretty specific.
It is a frat bro. Majority of people said a frat bro.
The frat bro.
The scumbag Republican.
That was a little misdirection, I guess. Yeah. All right, so let's go to the next one. Face is killing it.
You're going back.
Christy, are you Face? Oh, wow.
Who's Face?
Which Snidey song was once spoofed and used as the Weird Libertarians theme song?
Yes.
No diggity. Bye, bye, bye. She's so high. Good vibrations.
You have to sing She's So High since you put them on here.
No. I did put Good Vibrations because I know how much Spangle loves Good Vibes.
I am. Big fan.
True.
No diggity?
Bye 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 was what Brett Bittner posted after the Founders voted for the
Cheese. All right, are we ready?
2 seconds. And the answer was no diggity.
No diggity.
No doubt.
You have to go back to like episodes like 40 and 50 and maybe.
It wasn't on there long because it had Galt's name in it. And
yeah.
As soon as he left, it was done.
Right. Let's go to the next one.
Greg, you want to read one?
Sure.
Brett plays trivia every week, so he has the advantage. His fingers are very nimble.
He's actually better known in trivia circles than even libertarian circles.
Yeah.
That's true.
In episode 23, episode 23's Mythic Fight.
Who fought? Over fluoride and conspiracies. Is it Chris Galton with Brothers Peppers? Chris Mangle and Maya? Craig Harrington and Chris Galton with Brett Lance? And Noam Chomsky?
Evan knows it because he had to prepare the insurance documents in case there's a lawsuit.
Non-aggression principle.
Non-aggression principle was violated by one of our hosts.
You've been doing that this week, too, on social media. I'm so disappointed in you.
I want to make a blanket apology to anyone that I bullied this week.
Greg, you would have followed Noam Chomsky if you had the chance.
I removed myself, so I didn't rape his ears.
The answer, Creighton and Chris Galt, neither of whom are on the podcast anymore.
Next question. I'm still asking about Galt. Have you seen Galt?
Face is killing
it. I have seen Galt. He's a handsome man. Let's go to the next one.
Even without Florida.
Who did Wall contributor James Neese once name a parallel Mexican?
No!
Was it me? Was it Gina Martinez, Ted Cruz, or Marco Rubio?
All of the above.
That is kind of a trick question, now that Colin has pointed that out.
We're pretty diverse, look at this.
Yeah, we got Marco Rubio on the podcast, and those guys.
Mucho bueno.
I mean, that's how much you need to love freedom. You need to love freedom enough that you will get on a raft made out of an old tire, and whatever that green thing is, I think that's a dildo used by a former member of the party.
Casco tires.
And Marco Rubio.
What?
That was the one.
No, it was Nacho Gordito Supremo.
He said it about you.
I was the second one.
Oh, really?
He was during a conversation about Rubio that he brought the
term. He did.
He did, you're right.
We should listen to our own show.
Only the podcast video versus the guys that actually do it.
All right, next question.
The puppet master.
Face is killing. Go to the next question. Which term was created to describe Creighton Harrington's Rand Paul bromance?
It is available on UrbanDictionary.com.
I wish he was here.
That is an actual photo that I took. This asshat showed up to my apartment dressed like that.
He was shit-faced and it had three double cheeseburgers.
You can't light a flag on fire, but you can put it next to your sweaty balls and walk around the track for 5 hours and get your cheese all over it. Rand boner is the answer. Let's go to the next one.
Did you come up with the Paul balls?
I guess I came up with the cockpitologist.
Next.
You're welcome.
All right. Which cast member once arrived at Chris's apartment early, only to find him fully in the nude?
Harry Bryce, James Neese, Ryan Hurley, or Dan Peppers?
I do not like that meme.
You made that meme.
No, I didn't. My phone was dead, or otherwise I'd have been there on time.
So for those who don't understand, know the backstory, we have one rule in the podcast. Don't show up early, because I am almost always naked until the last minute. And James' niece just walked in because I had forgotten to lock the door, and I was. Well, for the one person that didn't answer. So niece walks in, and I'm cleaning the toilet naked. And I'm cleaning the toilet naked. And I walk around the corner.
What?
With one hand over my junk. And the other hand ready to fucking fight whoever walked into my house. And I almost dropped the towel, the little washcloth I had over my junk.
A fig leaf.
And I about went to town. He goes, bruh, oh, Jesus, dog. Listen, if you're going to fight, do it naked, because they'll never see that coming.
And James always has a 46 or 48-ounce Mountain Dew in his hand from a gas station at all times, so he's the easiest guy to fight with.
The worst part is that when I hit fight or flight, I immediately get erect. So, let's go to the next question.
Melissa Hubbard is in second place, just her candidate.
Next question. Joe, read it.
This small participant enjoys making a murderer, pugs, and doing things at his own pace. Is it Chris Peppers, Greg Lenz, Lynn Swayze, or Brett Bittner? Should be easy.
Little.
Easily my favorite meme that you put in.
Was that prom?
That was his prom photo. He took his first cousin that year. He did get laid. He did get laid. It was the first time he ever had butt stuff done to him.
That happened way earlier.
All right, let's go to next. Wow, that was... now I'm uncomfortable. All right, let's go to the next one. Spango Unchained is the highest climber. Congratulations.
Hey, Melissa Hubbard. Looks like she went through her membership.
All right, go to the next one.
You're moving to Indianapolis.
This meme appeared during our discussion of what?
Ever started the Ferguson riots? Occupy Wall Street or the Boston bombing?
Not Mike Jones, but
Edward Snowden, the Ferguson riots, Occupy Wall Street, or the Boston bombing? And the meme says, I was told to be in blank at 5, ready to loot. See, that's a loot. It's a...
It just struck me how racist our show is right now.
If I don't explain the joke, I'm not a libertarian, so... All right, yes, the Ferguson riots. I'm triggered by that word. All right, let's go to the next one. Next. Which country sent representatives to kidnap Deer Leader in episode 76?
Love the meme. That's Chris's actual body, for anyone who's interested.
Yeah, that's me.
He's on Tinder.
James took that photo when he walked into my house and I was naked.
Hashtag moose knuckle.
Yeah. For those of you who are wondering why I was kidnapped, I got divorced and I couldn't do the podcast because I was in searing emotional pain for several months.
You could have killed her less violently.
I didn't kill her.
Making a murderer.
She just broke my spirit.
You're like the Stephen Avery.
Yes, it was Canada. All right, so let's go to next.
31 got that right.
Yeah.
They know how you feel about Canada.
In episode 80, Greg and Joe almost always accidentally got Creighton fired from what organization?
Americans for
Prosperity.
Governments, or Advocates for Self-Government, Students for Liberty, or Young Americans for Liberty. And that is Creighton. I wish he was here. I
mean, see,
I have my consent, Joe.
So we,
That's fine.
IP.
So in one of the episodes, they went up to the Michigan party, and Creighton drunk yelled the Independence Day speech. And it, he nailed it word for word. We transcribed it to double check because
so
we need accuracy in this podcast.
And a regional director.
And then they talked about how he was too drunk and passed out, and then he got called into Jeff Frazee's office. The answer is Young Americans for Liberty.
I had to write like a page long email so he didn't get thrown out.
Next.
I wouldn't apologize.
Well, he told me it was hilarious.
Which wall participant has his own pizza fund at We Are Libertarians? So if you go to WeAreLibertarians.com and you go to the right and you go to the PayPal box and want to make a monthly donation to We Are Libertarians to keep us going so we can do cool events like this, you can sign up for $7 a month and join the WHO Pizza Fund. It's the Pizza Society, actually.
Aaron Ewert? Is it Ewert?
Ewert.
Ewert. Tyler Weiss.
Weiss.
That's any of those names.
Jeremiah Burrell and Chloe Anaganos. Didn't get a single one right.
15 people got it right.
This is delicious. All right, next. All right. Which wall contributor left to sell weed in Colorado? Hint, jiggle to the left. Niece, Chris Peppers, Dan Peppers, or Gina Martinez?
Sells a bit strong. He more fills out paperwork.
Right. So the jiggle to the left reference is from the unrecorded annals of We're Libertarians, the best 20 minutes of comedy we've ever done. And I was ready after my divorce to start dating, and so I was trying to get some advice on how to pick up chicks. So naturally, I asked Greg and Peppers. And Peppers, at the time, was a solid 580, and he's 3'4", and he has a beard like Hagrid. And,
he was an extra in The Hobbit.
Yeah, and he told me that you just go to the Casbah in Broad Ripple on Friday nights, and you stand on the corner and just jiggle to the left, and that will bring all the bitches to your yard. See, we're all learning here today. Let's go to the next one.
I think that might have been the last one.
All right.
All right. Let's see who won.
Drum roll.
All right.
Hit ends, Harry.
End.
Chop chop.
Face. Who's face?
Go. Who is face? Come on up. All right.
Recent first time guest host.
Come on over here.
Sit down with us.
Hop up. This is our second gay on stage.
Oh, boy.
We've had... It's okay. He's okay with me saying he's gay. He wants most of you to know, especially you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Tell everybody your name.
Seth Nyman.
Seth Nyman.
Hyman.
How do you spell that?
Yeah. You are
FF719 on Brian.
F.
Oh.
You
Is that a swipe right in Grindr parlance?
No, Grindr doesn't have swiping. Anybody can look.
Are you 20?
I'm 23.
All right, we can't date. You're too old.
But not for Evan.
I mean, but if I were going to go that way, you'd be in the running.
I've faced worse rejection. It's fine.
All right, okay. It's very tough. Well, so how are you enjoying the evening? How do you know all that?
I have a lot of boring evenings at work, and while I'm coding, I just listen to the We Are Libertarians. So, yeah, I only got two of them wrong.
Which one?
That came up to me in person, like, you know, listening to the show. The Young Americans were
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So, I just want to say that when Chris took the quiz, he got four wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I know better than the guy who started it, yeah.
I mean, honestly, if I were gay, I'd know a lot about me, too. Like, I'm very handsome.
And generous in the road.
That's right. Yeah. Don't you tell anybody.
I won't.
All right? Don't spread that around. All right.
When you were talking about James Neese showing up and you always being in the nude and people show up early, last night, everybody was at the convention all weekend and I wasn't able to be there. And so I said, Chris, I don't know what I'm walking into tomorrow. We need to strategize. Can I Skype you at 7? He said, sure. 7 o'clock, I Skyped him. The video message came up and Chris was... I assume in the nude.
Like this? Like this? Naked as fuck.
He goes,
like, you know the Burt Reynolds poster? I was Burt Reynolds as fuck.
He goes, hey Joe, screenshot this. I'm going to show you a little bit.
Since you started dating Emily, your online behavior has gotten more risque because you put several cream pie Snapchats up.
All right, now cream pie is not the right term. Could you please say oatmeal cream pie before you say cream pie about it?
Potato, potato.
Yeah. I like that I'm making fun of him for being gay, and I'm drinking the virgin pina colada. All right, well, thank you very much for joining us. Everybody give him a big round of applause.
Either evolved or devolved on a certain type of insurance we were looking to procure.
Never mind.
We'll discuss rates later.
All right, so we have just a few more minutes left. We want to do a little Q&A. Does anybody have any questions out there? Anybody any questions about libertarianism, politics, about government?
As you speak to a room full of libertarians.
This is entertainment, so one of you have a fucking question and get up here and ask one.
I have a question.
Hey.
After Seth got off the stage.
Chloe, get up here.
Were you on Grindr by any chance?
We're going to sit here and stare at each other until one of you motherfuckers gets up here and has a goddamn question. Colin, get up here. Chloe, hurry. First one to the stage wins.
I rolled my ankle.
Did you what? Oh, Jesus.
I rolled my ankle.
Are you okay?
So, like, what's your deal?
Ladies and gentlemen, Chloe and Agnos.
Are you really leaving?
Bitch just dropped the mic on me.
No, but go now.
She could be Miss Indiana.
She could be. She's got to wait for the results. Colin, get up here.
You can't win as a third-party pageant candidate here.
For those playing at home... Oh.
This is the legendary Cucky McGee.
This is Colin Schaefer?
That's right.
Schaffer? Talking to the mic.
Colin Schaefer, yes.
Colin Schaefer, all right.
Everything that Greg tells me to do has got me kicked off Facebook for the last couple months.
Yeah, you've been banned like three times, haven't you?
Five times, and I had to remake that Facebook page.
You are ruining people's lives, Greg.
He honestly just followed my example. I never told him to do anything. He was like, hey, can you do this real quick? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And the next thing you know, Bernie Sanders is on a ball sack. So. Yeah.
Well, if anybody's going to be in the ball sack in the presidential race, it's going to be Bernie, right? Or Gary Johnson.
I don't want to climb you right now.
Okay. Wow, that joke fell flat.
On the series.
I'm sorry. Jesus. I'm Gary.
Never
I'm
make
sorry.
Fun of Gary Johnson in a room
He's
full of libertarians.
He's the new Ron Paul, but taller and dark. He is very tan now.
Well, he climbs like eight mountains. All right. Colin, what's your question?
On a serious note, who is Melissa Hubbard?
All right. So we've had a lot of fun at Melissa Hubbard's expense today. Melissa is the person who was on episode 100 and something.
We aborted it. Is that the feed?
No, it's still in the feed. It's like episode 116. She was on last June. And Melissa is a former dominatrix, and Melissa is a former libertarian, and Melissa is also a raging narcissistic sociopath. And she has, really, you guys should go check out her Facebook feed, because Greg Lenz, Brett Bittner, and I are prime time on that son of a bitch. And she is going after us mercilessly. And
she's like our CNN and we're Trump.
Yeah.
We just have to just a little bit of poke. Next thing you know, 24/7 coverage.
We all have her blocked, so we can't see it, because hopefully it'll just go away. But I'm sure, like, giving out her book at a podcast is not going to help. But it got the reaction I really wanted, which was a standing ovation. But yeah, did that answer your question?
Well, I offered to give her a ride to tonight's live podcast.
You did.
I bet you did. I swear to God, I did.
I bet he did.
She did not respectfully decline. I'm now blocked as well.
Right. For your bravery, give him a round of applause, Colin Schaefer.
The Aaron Hill Award for bravery.
So. You all right?
Hey, I'm sorry I got you killed.
Bowers just about finally had that heart attack.
He looked at your Mittens Hitler picture and was so taken aback. He was so overcome with hope.
Well, yeah. So I had this made. I actually had this made. I called Grace and our graphic designer, PJ Yinger. I said, I have a great idea. Can you print a picture of Mittens? And her dad, PJ, goes, can I put a Hitler mustache on it?
And I go, hell of a guy, this PJ.
I go, why not? Well, it's never stopped Greg before.
Adolf Hitler.
I am so tired. I gotta be honest, you guys have been so much fun. And this has been a lot of fun, and I hope you've had fun too.
You guys are the best, because you sat through this, and I hope this is a nice, like, comedic relief from a stressful weekend for everyone here that was at the convention.
And I hope they're starting to drop checks, too. Have they done that yet? No. Yeah. All right, good. Who paid the most? You can have the Hitler picture.
Yeah, we need it. No.
Nope.
I have a motion for a bylaw.
Yeah.
You have a motion for a bylaw, okay.
I have a motion for a bylaw.
All right. The chair will hear you now.
Somebody invited the fucking parliamentarian, Tim Clark. Who did an excellent job, by the way, because I didn't know if you were telling the truth or just coming up with shit on the spot. It's amazing. Oh, you did it fucking great.
He said it's my interpretation.
The chair recognizes Greg Lenz for a motion.
I nominate Jim Wallace.
Well, I said a bowel motion, and then you said that, and that's not nice. We're nice to Jim now.
That's true.
Nice.
It's just Melissa we bully.
Right. Because she can die in a fire.
Cyberbullying.
Was that socially inappropriate?
No.
No?
First,
okay.
You have a cat right. With a Hitler mustache, then you're talking about dying in fires. What's next?
That's really... I did post my own suicide note on my Facebook page today to promote this show. I have no more lows. I really don't. But if Emily ever leaves me, it will get much worse than this.
Is it true that there's karaoke?
Not tonight. Next week. So Morty's on Monday nights is going to start having podcasts. They're going to have my good friend Chick McGee. He's going to come do his podcast here. The Motor Pugs, they're going to do their podcast.
Are Jeff and Caitlin?
Jeff and Caitlin are not famous enough to do their podcast here yet. Maybe get into that top 100 a couple more times. It might happen for you.
How's it going being Jeff's boss?
It's really terrible.
But you got him to open.
He is the most insubordinate little shit you've ever met in your life. But he is the funniest person, other than Emily, because she's my girlfriend. Emily and Jeff are tied easily for the... Like, I said, you're going to get up here and do 5 minutes. You and Caitlin figure it out. And they came up and they absolutely killed. So thank you to Jeff and Caitlin. Give them a round of applause. Next, Chris Bowers is in the back of the room. I want to give a special shout out to Chris Bowers.
He was amazing this weekend. He filled in the Libertarian Convention last minute and blew the doors off of the place.
Yeah, so
incredible.
You all see how beautiful and amazing Morty's comedy joint is. And we called him and said, hey, we want you to come do comedy in front of 90 not drunk enough libertarians who all might not get social cues in a darkly lit room with a terrible sound system, and you've got an hour to prepare. And he said, sure, no problem, buddy. I'll be there.
When you
no
called problem. Him, did you say, do you speak Aspie?
I almost got that one open mic comedian then.
Hilarious.
He was hilarious. And Bowers came, and he absolutely destroyed the Libertarian Party of Indiana convention. He killed, and I think that's a big reason why a lot of people came out and supported Morty's, and I hope you'll continue to do that. Thank you to them for giving us this chance. And hopefully we'll get to be back here and do this again, and you all will bring three friends with you. And
you'll buy some wraps?
Their burritos are tight.
No, some Liberty wraps. We're going to start a pyramid scheme.
How it works. Okay. So, give a major round of applause to everybody at Morty's. That was fucking lame. Do it again and better. Thank you. That was good. That felt good.
It did. Cathartic.
Right. I like applause. Do it again.
Trump.
All right. So at the end of the show, we like to wrap up. We've made a few announcements, but the floor is yours. Joe Ruiz drove down from LaPorte or South Bend. It's all the same to me.
I came to Burgess.
You did. But you're also a host.
Yeah, you work for us for free. You do what we say. So Joe came down from South Bend and has to drive back tonight, so give him a round of applause. Thank you for being here. He put that awesome quiz together. I just have to say, on a personal note, 4 years ago, I started the podcast with Chris and Creighton, and then on January of 2013, these two guys came on board, and it has never stopped being fun. And through the worst period of my entire life, I counted on you guys to be there for me, and you always were. And not just for me, but also for everybody in We Are Libertarian Land. So it is a special honor to share the stage in this big moment for our podcast with both of you. So I thank you guys.
Thank you.
So, Joe Ruiz, the floor is yours.
To say what?
Whatever you want.
Thanks for coming, and I'm awesome. I'm just glad that I could participate, and it's really good. I haven't seen some of you in a very long time, so happy to see your faces.
We're not going to see Joe very often, at all, so this is a wonderful treat for us, too, so thanks for coming down, Joe. And what I'll say is this, is that I was a little bit nervous about going to the... I know this isn't the LPIN, but I will say, since so many people that are Libertarian Party of Indiana members came out tonight, I am just floored, because I am toxic, and I am divisive, and I am not everybody's favorite person. I've never been. But the way you guys have treated me has been nothing but the highest class, and you've been so warm and welcoming, and I consider you all friends, and I just couldn't be more proud of, letting me help you guys and welcoming me in, because there's been some talk that you guys aren't the most welcoming, and it couldn't be further than the truth. You are the most welcoming part of the game. For the good of food. I didn't know the bell's too hard, Harry. thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
A special thank you, by the way. Yeah.
It's been an awesome meeting, and you guys are the best. And, Shane, Paul, Tim, Allison, Jeff. I can't see everybody else back there. Sorry. I've got old people on my side. But, you guys are awesome, and thank you so much, because it really meant a lot to me. Otherwise, it would have been an uncomfortable weekend for me.
Thank you very much. For me, this is a dream come true. It's something that I've wanted to do. I've never done stand-up. I've always wanted to do stand-up, but I have, since I was a child, worshipped stand-up comedians and comedy clubs, and I obviously have my dream job, so to get to do this, when Todd McComas here at Morty's offered this event to us, I was first in shock and tried to talk him out of doing a political podcast. And it is a great honor, and I want to thank Chris Bowers, I want to thank Todd McComas, Avery, and everybody at Morty's, just for this privilege to get to come and do this. And thank you to you guys for showing up and supporting us. We really do appreciate it. It absolutely blows our mind that people listen to us and enjoy this.
The fact that we went from Cholo Run to your basement apartment, before I met your wife, I thought she was fake, Lila Naked Cow.
I wish she had been fake. Oh my God.
Wouldn't she for not?
Yeah.
No, but the thing that it was that first time you invited me, I knew nothing about the Second Amendment, but you still, you know, in true millennial fashion, you let me just go and voice opinions.
Yeah.
Totally unsubstantiated. The thing that we're being allowed by Chris Bowers and the owners of Morty's Comedy Joint to do this is amazing, and I can't wait to keep growing in the future, hopefully, and hopefully you guys keep find it worth listening to and subscribing to. So thank you so much.
Clap, please.
Please clap.
I also want to give a big shout out to everybody who works on We Are Libertarians for Free. It's not just these two guys. We have a group of about 20 people that are involved in We Are Libertarians, and most of them are here tonight, so if you see them, thank them for their hard work for free, just for the cause, to try and grow a platform that really speaks the language of people today and explain politics. Last but not least, but yet still sitting in the back, Harry Price, everybody. Yeah, Harry, come on up here.
Harry.
I want to thank Aaron Ewert,
Tyler Weiss,
Chloe Anagnos,
Brett's assistant,
Jeremiah Morrill.
Come on.
Harry, here.
We told Aaron we wouldn't make him come up, and now we're making him come up.
So, his wife is going to be so pissed at me again.
do you have something you'd like to say to Harry?
Well, you know, now it's not really that funny because I was intending that Harry would be the third guest, and I could say I was offended and triggered making him three out of the five guests we were going to have on, and totally ruined it. Now, I just will say that, Harry, I accept the award on behalf of the NAACP, and I am so honored that you gave it to me.
No, it's okay. I'm offended. The donation box is white. I'm sitting there with a chair. But it's okay.
All right, thank you guys for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians.
Hand of applause, Brett Bittner didn't come up here.
And Brett Bittner, yes, I'm sorry. And as always,
we promise
to do better next time.
Please clap.